Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, we know one thing about Tommy Pham, Woods. Guy seems to have a pretty high pain tolerance threshold.
He's like unbreakable a little bit.
I mean, he came back very quickly from that broken hamate bone, which, you know, they said, yeah, I mean, you can come back. It's going to hurt like heck.
Yep.
But he was out there, and I believe he had 375 for the Padres in the playoffs. So he did come through when the Padres needed him to come through. This is not the first time either that he's been stabbed, which is, that's not something you usually want to experience once in your life, much less twice.
I think stabbing would be one of the worst things. What would be worse than stabbing? Being shot? I think I would take the shot over the stab.
I mean, with a smaller caliber,
yeah,
bullet,
like a 22, maybe.
Yeah,
you could shoot me with a 22 right now because I feel like death.
I do that feeling of a knife going. I mean, like,
yeah, like stab.
I mean, even like when I'm like a kitchen wound when I accidentally, you know, nick myself with a knife, I am...
The knife going out,
it's the worst feeling. It's
the worst
feeling.
I've heard that being stabbed is like the worst thing. And Tommy Pham. Yeah, I mean, again, Tommy Pham is okay. Tommy Pham was the victim of a stabbing at a strip club.
We do see...
Outside of a strip club.
That seems to be the consensus of evidence and all reports that we've gathered, both in the media and privately from sources, that Tommy Pham really was an innocent victim in this case. There are some people who think maybe you put yourself in a bad place at a bad time, and there's something to be said about not putting yourself in that situation later at night, outside an adult establishment where people are arguing in a parking lot, that only bad things happen at that time. But from all the facts that we've gathered, he had nothing to do with these people. They were messing around with his car, and he asked them to move along, and they pulled a knife, and he ended up getting stabbed, slashed in the back. He was taken to the hospital on Sunday night. He was treated. He's in good condition. He and the Padres both released statements yesterday to that effect, and should be ready to go in a couple of weeks. Not going to affect him at all in terms of going into next season, but certainly was something that generated a lot of discussion yesterday, especially among Padres fans on social media.
Yeah, you saw some people wanting him traded. I don't get that necessarily. Again, is it an embarrassing situation? It's not one that you want in the news, probably if you had your choice, but it's certainly not anything. I don't think he did anything really egregious. He, certainly didn't break the law. It's something you wouldn't do, Ben. Would happen to me. Could happen to me. Could have happened to me 1,000 times. But
again, this literally could have happened anywhere.
Anywhere. I mean, gas station, in and out. Mickey D's, doesn't matter. You could, anywhere you are, something could, a fight could break out, and Costco parking lot. I mean, you just never know. Does it look worse that it was at a strip club? Not in my eyes, but I did see a lot of people yesterday upset that Tommy Pham was at a strip club. Again, it's the off season. He's a single guy. Even a married guy can go to a strip club. Not that you would.
He's been presumably, and I heard no reports to the contrary, locked down, you know, with his team. They were certainly in a bubble for the last couple of weeks, but even before that, players were expected to, you know, act responsibly and pretty much just go straight home, ballpark, you know, on the road with the team, not leaving the hotels when they're on the road. That's a pretty boring, not get to do much lifestyle. I'd imagine most baseball players, whatever team they're on, when the season finally comes to an end, whether they didn't make the playoffs or they get eliminated from the postseason, yeah, they're going to want to take advantage of things that are open right now and do some stuff that they weren't able to do with an offseason coming up and no games to get ready for. That's pretty much how professional sports works. When the season's over, you go, you have a good time, you go on vacation with the family or with the boys or whatever. You go out and have a couple of nights out on the town. That's very common behavior for a professional athlete.
Yeah, and I was more surprised that Pacers was open. I really was. I had no idea the Pacers was open because there are certain things that I'd like, places I'd like to go that aren't open. In fact, you know what I did last night that I have, it's never happened to me before? I ordered DoorDash. I was going to cook on the Traeger, but I was...
Did you get DoorDash from Pacers?
No. Oh, okay. But if they offer it, I would try. They have a great selection of fries, as we mentioned earlier. You know what happened to me is I'm not feeling good. I told you.
Yeah, I know. You were like Tommy Pham, are playing through some pain here this morning.
100%.
I respect that.
I threw up. It's awful. I'm detoxing from nicotine, which is the weirdest thing. I knew it was going to be hard. I didn't know I was going to feel like death. And I feel sick right now. It's great. I'm pouring sweat. It's awesome. But it's necessary. Last night I wanted some rice, just some fried rice. I thought that sounds good. I don't feel like cooking. So
it absorbs things, yeah. Tends to settle your stomach. Rice is one of those foods that
I just was in the
good
mood.
Good for someone who's not feeling great.
So I ordered DoorDash. I got some fried rice. And I waited, and I waited, and I waited. And then they canceled my order. Why? The restaurant was closed. It doesn't exist anymore. So I was surprised that restaurant was closed, but Pacers was open. I could have eaten at Pacers, no problem.
They probably shouldn't take your order to begin
with. They shouldn't be on DoorDash, right?
From the restaurant no longer open.
Number one, I hope that everybody that worked there found new jobs. That's number one. My cravings are not the most important thing. But number two, if it's not open anymore, why is it still on DoorDash? And I can say the name because they're closed. It's Taboo Sushi over there in like Del Mar, Solana Beach area. Closed, just out. It's gone. But why is it still on DoorDash? Why is it still an option for me to order from a place that's not open anymore?
I don't know, but that is one of the, for me, the saddest parts of 2020 and COVID is driving by a business that all of a sudden is out of business. And you just like,
that's brutal.
I always think of the owners, the employees going, hey, this was someone's dream, you know, opening up whether a restaurant or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And maybe
people
they were
have jobs.
They may have been killing it, and all of a sudden COVID hits and they just couldn't survive it. And it's the worst thing about this year. I hate those shuttered restaurants and other businesses that I knew they were someone's livelihood and
their
dream.
Like you said, someone's dream, yeah. to put out their shingle and open a restaurant or open whatever. But now Pacers has survived the pandemic, and that was a really surprising story. I would love to hear from those that really, and I'm not gonna yell at you. I want to know your point of view. Like, why is, because of that incident, why is Tommy Pham no longer, you know, a part? Like, why do you feel that he's no longer a good fit for the Padres? Because I did see a lot of that yesterday. So call us 833-288-0973. I'm interested. I'm interested in other people's point of view.
You know, I might have thought that at some point in my life, that harmony and, hey, everyone with the good chemistry is exactly what you need. And you do need good chemistry. But I've kind of learned as I've kind of grown and watched more sports that good chemistry doesn't always mean everyone is on the same page
right all
the time. You need a variety of personalities. Now, you need them to mesh, you know, and fit together like puzzle pieces in certain ways. But if you only have like 25 happy-go-lucky guys who are, you know, just in a great mood every single day, you're probably missing something on your roster. You need a couple of guys who kind of have that edge to fire up a team when they need to be fired up. You need to have a couple of those calm, cool guys for when things start to get overheated, that they can dial everyone back a little bit. You need to have the vocal guys on the team who are willing, hey, to say something when something needs to be said. you need to have a couple of followers on the team who, you know, you're not going to have 27 guys all talking at the same time. Some guys need to listen. So good chemistry doesn't mean all guys of the same personality. It means the right mix of different guys with different personalities. And I tend to think Tommy Pham, who, at least from what I saw, and we met him very briefly at spring training and then have only been able to watch him from afar on COVID, he's a very intense, on kind of edge personality, but someone that I think may have driven the Padres and some of those other players to places that they may not have been to without his presence in that clubhouse.
Yeah, I mean, we're our show is a good example of that. I mean, two completely opposite personalities, right? I mean, I'm more likely to get stabbed at a strip club than you are, seeing as that you've never been to a strip. You can't have two Bens in here, and you can't have two Woodses in here either. It's not going to be the same. Opposites attract. You know what's a good example, Benny? Look at the Yankees, how they make everyone cut their hair and they make them shave and they can't. They try to have this uniform thing. And I think that now is probably the time to boot that. Don't you? I think by especially with baseball now, tamping down the individuality on a team. And I understand you all have to have the same goal, but you don't need to be 25 of the same people. You can't have that. And in fact, no team does. You've got guys from Japan. You've got guys from the Dominican. You got guys from Cuba. You got guys from the States. They all grew up playing the game differently. They speak different languages. Like, that's the beauty of baseball. It's truly a melting pot. And when you try to make everybody uniform, hey, if I had my way, all the Padres would look like A, B, C, and D. That just can't happen. That's not the mark of a good team.
You also have stories. It's Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan, of teams, and you all hear, hey, one all for one and one for all, and we're all pulling on the same rope, and these guys just really get along well. You hear a lot of that with championship squads. There's also very successful teams that are, hey, 25 players, 25 different taxis
yep.
at the end of the game. They don't hang out with each other after the game. They don't get along. They don't share any interests at all. Their personalities don't mesh very well. But they're all just really good players. And when they go out on the field, magic is made on the field. And then off the field, it's like, hey, I can't stand these guys. But you know what? We're all good baseball players, and we all have the same goal at least. And when we get out there, the 84 Padres, I have been told, a little bit like that. You know, Dick Williams, the only thing they had in common is they all hated their
him.
Manager.
Yeah.
And other than that, they didn't really have much in common with each other either. And yet, it's one of the greatest Padres teams of all time.
Well, and
why? Because they're good baseball players, and that really is more important than anything else.
It just is the best part of the game of baseball. It really is. I mean,
magic formula.
It's the best part of baseball is having guys that... You know, this guy, Randy Arozarena. Do you know his story? They were talking a little bit about his story. He was a really good player in Cuba, and he was playing on the Cuban team, and his father was his greatest influence. His father comes to a game to watch him play, eats a plate of seafood, has an allergic reaction, and dies, okay? Arozarena then realizes, I've got to take care of my family. He and six guys get on a kayak and defect. He was like, I'm going to Mexico where I can make money to send to my family. On a kayak. Some people didn't make it. He made it. Look at him now. Just a postseason star. That guy is different from, you know, their third baseman, Wendell, who grew up in probably Kansas or something, playing a different style of baseball. That's what makes those teams great, man, is feeding off of each other, getting that, hey, this is how you play, this is how I play, putting it all together. It's the best part of baseball.
It's one of the things we love about sports in general. There's no one formula that works every single time. Take golf, for example. You've got the mad professor, Bryson DeChambeau, who's having great success. But you also have, you know, John Daly, who didn't think about anything other than, hey, I'm just going to swing and hit it as hard as I can,
yeah.
have success. You know, you've got the in-shape guys. You've got the Patrick Reeds, you know, and the Craig Stadlers of the world who've had success without, you know, picking up a weight or getting a treadmill once in their life.
To me, that's different because it's such an individual sport. But it's obviously not all uniform. It's the best teams are the ones that figure out how to do it together. And again, Tommy Pham, because he went to a strip club at 10:30 at night and got stabbed. Again, you got to remember, he's the victim, absolutely the victim here. I'm glad he's okay. Guys like that, you need guys like that on your team. Tommy Pham is, and his postseason that he had for the Padres was, we haven't talked about it enough, how good he was. He was a massive, massive part of their success.
Maybe the only thing I'm disappointed slightly in is that I kind of believe that Tommy Pham was kind of like Chuck Norris. And if there were like four or five guys and they all had weapons, he'd just simply take them all out, you know, just quickly, like some sort of martial arts moves.
And... It feels like Chuck Norris should be afraid of Tommy
exactly.
Pham.
Exactly, yeah. Yes.
No, I hear you.
Yeah, he's the victim. I'm just mad that he just didn't, you know, take care of business, maybe.
But yeah, I mean, look.
Sounds like he was outnumbered,
though. I'm just glad he's okay.
Yeah,
he's okay. But you look at, Ben, look at the Braves, right? Braves are a great example. You got Freddie Freeman. Everybody's All-American, right? Then you got Ronald Acuna, just the flashiest, most badass player out there. You've got role players in there, here and there. You got Pablo Sandoval coming off the bench last night wearing one. It's just the best part of baseball, the team. It's 25 different personalities all working together. I love it so much. It's my favorite part.
I saw a stat, by the way. Pablo Sandoval has never been in the playoffs and not won the World Series.
It's nuts. It's nuts.
And now he's, seven wins away from another World Series. I didn't even know he was on the Braves until yesterday.
I can't lie and say that I did know. I remembered something. I knew he was somewhere, and when he came up, I went, oh, my God. And then they put him at third base. He gets a ball in the ninth inning, makes the play, no problem. It was pretty awesome to see.
We will get back to baseball, talk a little more Padres with Annie Heilbrun here at the bottom of the hour, 8:35. Annie will join us for a wrap-up. When we come back, though, we've waited all morning. I got to discuss what happened on Monday Night Football last night as the Chargers make a little NFL history. And because it's the Chargers, not in a good way. We'll get to that next. Right now, let's check traffic on Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Here's Vicky Pepper.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.